This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
And now, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. And I guess for those people who have been crusading for years to legalize what is called recreational pot, which I think is a euphemism, by the way, today is another great day because not only has it become a formal yesterday that New York State was initiating its pot legalization program. Today, another state in another part of the country, New Mexico, by April of 2022, full legalization of what is called recreational marijuana for those above the age of 21. And so about people getting ready for 420, the marijuana holiday, which comes, 20 days from now? Who knows? And is this a good thing for the country? One person who says it is absolutely not a good thing is somebody who is a former three-time White House Office of National Drug Control Policy Advisor, Dr. Kevin Sabet. He has been the only person appointed to that office by both a Republican and a Democrat, appointed first by President Clinton, then by President Bush, and then by President Obama. So you're not about to get a new appointment with President Biden, are you, Kevin?
I don't think so. I think I 3-3 it and I'm out.
Well, partially you're out. You're out of what appears to be the party and the party line for Democrats, because this was a very partisan vote in New York State.
Yeah.
And yeah, I gotta they be, are treating... Well, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead. They're treating...
They are treating this, in the New York Times at least, as if the big arguments that pushed this through... And they only lost, they lost a total of 12 Democrats who voted against it. But otherwise, the Democrats were all for it. Republicans were unanimously against it.
Yeah.
They're treating it like a form of reparations. What they say at the very beginning of the New York Times article about it, they say that they're going to reinvest millions of dollars of tax revenues from cannabis in minority communities ravaged by the decades-long war on drugs.
Well, I'm
Is
still waiting
the
for that money.
The war on drugs that damaged the minority communities?
Well, I'm still waiting for that money from alcohol or tobacco taxes to help those communities. If we think that we're going to be, you know, doing that, we already have legal drugs. They're called alcohol and tobacco, and they're run by, you know, multi-billion-dollar corporations who, frankly, rely on addiction for profit. But I think, you know, as someone who is not partisan, actually, and I think that's why I probably got those appointments. When I observe this, it's interesting. My email inbox is full of Democrats, many of whom voted against, you know, because we did have some Democrats vote against this in the Assembly and three in the Senate in New York, but also some that voted for it, who basically said, you know, listen, the ones that voted for it said I kind of had to go along. You know, we tried to fight this for a couple of years. I'm sorry. I still think what you're doing is important. So they're sort of quietly agreeing with me, and several Democrats who voted against it from their personal emails, just, you know, because I know them personally, also writing me just to say thanks for your work. And so I think this should not be a partisan issue. You know, today's marijuana is so much stronger than it used to be. It's 10 to 30 times stronger. It affects the adolescent, but also older brains very acutely. We're talking IQ loss, schizophrenia, other mental health, suicide. I mean, it's not your old weed. And I just think we need to start taking it seriously. But again, we have big money interests who want to make money from it, so they're pushing their agenda.
It's so, by the way, your new book about this, which I have not received yet, but I look forward to it, is called Smokescreen, What the Marijuana Industry Doesn't Want You to Know. And It sounds like you're making some of the same points that Alex Berenson has made in his book, Tell Your Children, about the greatly underestimated dangers of marijuana addiction. Do you come down with your experience at government at the highest levels? Can marijuana be addictive?
Oh, absolutely. There was a study this week from the head of NIH's drug abuse center saying that marijuana among 12 to 17-year-olds is about double as addictive than alcohol or cigarettes for those teens. And yet, you know, we're just not hearing about this in a lot of the mainstream press and a lot of society because there's just this ascendancy of saying, hey, pot's cool. It's good for you. Celebrities do it. It's wonderful. And, you know, again, when we look at the research, it's indisputable. You know, to say that marijuana is not addictive or not harmful, at least for some people, is like saying the earth is flat. It doesn't mean that there aren't some people who use it and are fine with it and use it occasionally, or frankly, a lot of people don't like it. They try it once to three times and actually don't ever use it again. Of course, there are those cases, but increasingly we're seeing young people, especially as they eschew cigarettes, because we've done a great job actually in the last, you know, 10 years pushing back against cigarettes for kids. This industry of marijuana has done a wonderful job itself as positioning itself as natural, as good for you, medicine, how can it be bad? And now, of course, hopping on the social justice bandwagon, which I think is especially perverse because it's going to be people in those vulnerable communities that are going to be affected more than anybody negatively.
Well, before you came on the show, Dr. Sabat, I was talking a little bit about the history of drugs in minority communities and recalling some of the crack cocaine crisis in the 1980s. It was associated with higher crime and very, very destructive impacts. It wasn't the war on drugs that has damaged minorities as much as drugs themselves. And yeah, once upon a time, isn't that the case?
It is the case. And that isn't to say there aren't areas where we can, you know, implement sensible criminal justice reform. I mean, Texas have done this very well. Arkansas has looked at this. A lot of, you know, very red states actually have done that. But the issue is, you're right, it is often the drugs that are the problem. In fact, it was the black community that wanted to get harsh on crack cocaine. They were the ones demanding that. They wanted the police presence. They wanted the penalties. And, you know, I got to be honest with you. When I go and talk to minority communities around the country, they are not happy about marijuana. They don't want to see pot shops. In my book, I feature a couple in Compton, a black couple, husband and wife, who have kept marijuana stores out of Compton, California, despite being surrounded by, you know, West LA and other places that have tons of them. And they said, you know, we don't want them here. This isn't going to help our kids. Our kids need hope. They don't need, you know, more drugs. Because, by the way, the drug dealers aren't going away when you legalize drugs. It's not like they go to dental school or something. They undercut the legal market. They're still around. So you have double the problem. And it's amazing when you actually talk to these communities. They've actually been victimized by drugs themselves. Again, doesn't mean there isn't room for reform, but there's a balance to be stricken. And right now, as a society, really pushed by these interest groups that want marijuana and other drugs legalized, we have just swung the pendulum way too far.
Is it too late? Has the horse left the barn? Are we stuck with legalized marijuana across the whole country now?
You know, I don't know, because it's 15 or 16 states as of yesterday, so it's not a majority. We have a president, a Democratic president, who won the nomination. He was the only one to be against legalization. The other ones either flip-flopped completely to get the nomination, or they were true believers in legalization, people like Cory Booker and maybe one or two others. The rest of them didn't really have an opinion, but then they thought it was popular to be against, to be for it. So they jumped on the bandwagon. The one person who said he was against it is now president. And the White House press secretary actually reiterated this 2 days ago. They were asked about this from a member of the press. They said that, you know, he believes in decriminalization, you know, removing the criminal penalty, but not legalization and not what we're seeing in these states. So we'll see. I think it's still a slow road. Regardless of what happens, I think there's going to be a reckoning. It's a matter of when that's going to happen. It may take
and
many
some,
decades.
Some of the background for that reckoning you can find in the book Smokescreen. It's posted at our website, michaelmedved.com, What the Marijuana Industry Doesn't Want You to Know. I hope you'll come back soon because this issue is not going away. We will be right back on the MedVet Show. Dr. Stephen Meyer is a New York Times bestselling author, and his new book, Return of the God Hypothesis, makes the case for the undeniable intelligent design of the universe. And it's already looking like a smash hit. Clear, compelling, and entertaining to read. Meyer skewers materialism, a must-read, and a convincing argument. Those are just some of the comments from the more than 40 scientists who've endorsed the book. Using discoveries from cosmology and physics in Return of the God Hypothesis, Meyer reveals his stunning conclusion. The science supports not just the existence of an intelligent designer, but the existence of a personal God. Pre-order at discovery.org/medved. That's discovery.org/medved. And get these special pre-order perks, a sneak peek at an exclusive excerpt from the book, a free digital booklet about intelligent design, discounts for Dr. Meyer's online course, and an invitation to a private online meeting with Dr. Meyer. Get all this when you pre-order at discovery.org/medved. Small investors shamed Wall Street by running the price of certain stocks way up to the detriment of big hedge funds, social media, and trading platforms, then kept investors from buying stock. A financial war is being waged in America. With all this volatility, now's an even better time to protect your net worth and own precious metals as part of your portfolio. Nick Rovich, who's the owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, has always been fair and honest with my precious metals holdings, and now, more than ever, it's a good time to own tangible assets like gold, silver, and platinum. Amfed can show you smart choices, which have been proven winners time and time again. Call Nick and his team at Amfed today, 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694, or visit AmericanFederal.com.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
For outrage.
It is outrageous what you are saying.
The Michael Medved Show.
This is outrageous.
And I'll tell you what's outrageous is trying to sell marijuana legalization as part of a racial justice initiative. And that's what they did in New York when New York became the 15th state to legalize recreational use of cannabis. Today, New Mexico joined the parade. It's the 16th. Virginia was right ahead. There were four states in 2020 that voted to legalize. And it does increasingly seem to be a partisan Democratic priority because they've dressed this thing up in racial garb. And the tendency of the Democratic Party to treat utterly everything as a racial issue is one of the most destructive tendencies in all of American politics, it seems to me. It says, New York became the 15th state to legalize the recreational use of cannabis, positioning itself to quickly become one of the largest markets of legal cannabis in the nation and one of the few states where legalization is directly tied to economic and racial equity. How is legalization tied to economic and racial equity? All of the studies that I've seen show that, if anything, marijuana is less of a thing in the black community than it is among white suburban kids or white suburban adults. There is virtually no research that shows that the customers for marijuana are primarily black people. And yet Crystal D. Peoples-Stokes, who is the Democratic majority leader in the New York State Senate, is treating this as if this is an issue of liberation and social justice. It says the previous attempts to legalize marijuana were stymied over disagreement on how the tax revenue from sales would be distributed. Democratic lawmakers, especially those who are non-white, insisted that a large portion of the money be earmarked for communities where black and Latino people have been arrested on marijuana charges. The governor wanted to retain more control over how the money was spent. The lawmakers prevailed. 40% of all tax revenue from pot sales will be steered to black and Latino communities. And people convicted of marijuana-related offenses that are no longer criminalized will have their records automatically expunged. That's also part of the New Mexico bill. The law also seeks to allow people with past convictions and those involved in the illicit cannabis market to participate in the new legal market. Oh, wonderful. Unlike any other state in America, this legislation is intentional about equality, said Senator Crystal D. Peoples-Stokes, the Democratic Majority Leader. Equity is not a second thought. It's the first one, and it needs to be, because the people who paid the price for this war on drugs have lost so much. Honestly, you have to be blind and historically illiterate to believe that the black community, or the Latino community for that matter, has suffered more from the war on drugs, the attempt to reduce drug use, than suffered from drugs themselves. With very high rates of addiction that, thank God, better law enforcement helped to bring down, starting in the mid-80s. President Biden, meanwhile, is speaking about what he calls the American Jobs Plan. This is this infrastructure. It's going to be another $2 trillion plus. And it goes along with some tax increases. This was President Biden yesterday talking in Pittsburgh about his plans for spending an unprecedented level of government money. This is clip 12A.
All will do better when we all do well. It's time to build our economy from the bottom up and from the middle out, not the top down. That hadn't worked very well. For the economy overall, it hadn't worked. Because Wall Street didn't build this country. You, great middle class, built this country. And unions built the middle class. And it's time. This time, when we rebuild the middle class, we're going to bring everybody along. Regardless of your background, your color, your religion, no matter, everybody gets to come along.
And then he boasted about the size of the, quote, investment. This is clip 12B.
So today, I'm proposing a plan for the nation that rewards work, not just rewards wealth. It builds a fair economy that gives everybody a chance to succeed. And it's going to create the strongest, most resilient, innovative economy in the world. It's not a plan that tinkers around the edges. It's a once-in-a-generation investment in America, unlike anything we've seen or done since we built the interstate highway system and the space race decades ago. In fact, it's the largest American jobs investment since World War II. It will create millions of jobs, good-paying jobs. It will grow the economy, make us more competitive around the world, promote our national security interests, and put us in a position to win the global competition with China in the upcoming years. It's big, yes. It's bold, yes. And we can get it done.
Okay, this is radical and radically foolish. The idea that we're competing with China, and China is very deliberately trying to move away from socialism to more free market incentives. That's basically why China's competitive at all. And President Biden talks about building this great economy. When has the government ever built the American economy? The government can help to create steps that the economy can take, but the economy is such a vast project. And it does not start with the government of the United States. The government of the United States doesn't make anything. And yes, building roads and repairing roads is important and it's popular. The Wall Street Journal in their editorial today says, most Americans think of infrastructure as roads, highways, bridges, and other traditional public works. That's why it polls well. And every president has supported more of it. Yet this accounts for a mere $115 billion of Mr. Biden's proposal. There's another $35 billion for airports and $17 billion for ports and waterways that also fill a public purpose. The rest of the $620 billion earmarked for transportation are subsidies for green energy and payouts to unions for the jobs his climate regulation will kill. This is really a plan to build government back bigger than it ever has been. Not to build back better, but build back bigger. You think that's really a good idea? 1-800-955-1776. More coming up.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Biden meeting with his full cabinet and talking about ways to promote his $2 trillion infrastructure plan. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg.
Good infrastructure planning is always about looking to the future. You know, railroads weren't part of infrastructure until we built them.
Kentucky House Republican James Comer.
It's not an infrastructure bill. Only 25% of the total funding would go for basic infrastructure.
Both appeared on Fox. The Biden administration is launching a program to help people in low-income communities get COVID-19 vaccines. Vice President Harris was at a roundtable with community leaders.
The vaccine is safe, and it will save lives.
Athletes, celebrities, and faith leaders are part of the effort to get the vaccines out. She said right now we could advance where we want to be as a country in terms of protecting our neighbors. This is USA Radio News.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
He's Michael Medved, and he is
reporting for duty.
And John Kerry has this new job that he stole from Al Gore. I guess he was the other former Democratic presidential candidate who might have been considered as the climate czar. And John Kerry's principal job now is to advise the president to lead the administration's efforts to combat climate change. And in that capacity, the former senator actually spoke to the International Energy Agency and described some screams that he has heard recently that are deeply alarming to the former senator from Massachusetts. This is clip 9A.
This is not some political goal. This is not a pet project of one or two or three countries. This is a reality that the scientists for years have been telling us. And Mother Earth, the planet, is screaming at us with the feedback loops that are telling us every single day, get this done. Not to mention the next generations that are likewise screaming at us and saying to us, hey, adults, please be adults. Make the decisions we need to make.
The whole vision of Mother Earth screaming at us and the next generation screaming at us, but what are they screaming? Okay, boomer? I mean, I guess John Kerry, he might be technically a little bit too old to classify as a baby boomer, as Joe Biden is. But he went on, advisor Kerry, to talk about basically the idea that going back to the Paris Accords is only a beginning. Why? This is clip 9B.
I was very proud of what we all did in Paris. I'm sure you are. Paris was a giant leap forward. But even if we did everything that we promised to do in Paris, Earth's temperature will still rise to about 3.7 degrees if we did everything in Paris, and we're not. So if we are looking at the curve we're on now, we're actually headed over 4 degrees. I don't want to debate how much. It's a debate nobody can win. But when the scientists uniformly tell us we're heading on this terrible curve, we know we have to speed up.
I have a plan.
Okay. It's one of those things where the operative thing, even if we promised to do everything that we said we would do in Paris, Earth's temperature would still rise. This is really at the very heart of a serious way to talk about climate change. Should we do what we can within reason to protect our environment, to prevent extreme climate change? Of course. Does that mean basically locking down the economy? We've all had some experience with that. And by the way, what's fascinating to me is nobody has said, oh, we locked down the economy all around the world. And in France, by the way, they have a new 3-week total lockdown because the virus is surging again. It's one of the reasons we need to continue to take it seriously, take the virus seriously in this country. But with all of the economic hardship that was caused and all of the social and the emotional and the personal relationships hardships that were caused by the pandemic and the lockdowns and the schools being out of session, they're doing that in France also. And the impact on the environment or the projected climate change appears to be almost nothing. So how much further are you supposed to go? It seems to me that is a real question. And it's why people like Bjorn Lomborg, who's been a frequent guest on this show, are so important. Sure, you do what you can, but you have to figure out what the damage is from anything that you're doing and what the benefits will be. And that's why the idea of going big, just spending money and going on and on and on with more stuff is not really such a good idea. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who seems more and more likely to take on the leadership of her own party in 2022, she is a likely candidate for U.S. Senate against Chuck Schumer. She was on the Rachel Maddow show. And she basically was talking about how even this gigantic bill by Joe Biden, and it is a gigantic bill, isn't nearly big enough. This is AOC clip 7.
You know, if we could wave a magic wand and progressives in the House were able to name any number and get it through, which obviously isn't the case, but if we're looking at ideals and what we think is the actual investment that can create tens of millions of good union jobs in this country that can shore up our health care, our infrastructure, our housing, and doing it in a way that draws down our carbon emissions to help us get in line with the IPCC standards, we're talking about realistically $10 trillion over 10 years. And I know that may be an eye-popping figure for some people, but we need to understand that we are in a devastating economic moment. Millions of people in the United States are unemployed. We have a truly crippled healthcare system and a planetary crisis on our hands, and we're the wealthiest nation in the history of the world. So we can do $10 trillion. That is a thing of political imagination.
That's a thing of political imagination? Doing $10 trillion? That's close to the entire size of the economy in a given year. Is any of this reasonable? Does it make sense? Pete Buttigieg actually was commented, and he, of course, is the Secretary of Transportation, so he has a big role in this infrastructure package. Pete Buttigieg mentioned that he's glad there's an appetite for going big, whatever that means, and then added this, a clip 10.
We are talking about the biggest jobs package in America since World War II. And this is truly a generational investment and a transformative investment. But I'm certainly glad to hear that there's a shared appetite for going big, because this is not a moment that we can approach in a routine kind of way. This is a moment that I believe calls to mind those moments when America had a choice to make. Most recently, probably when we had the interstate highway system under Eisenhower. If you want to go back to one before that, probably the moment of the Transcontinental Railroad under Lincoln, and before that even, the Erie Canal, which sounded like a pie-in-the-sky idea at the time and wound up actually being one of the decisions, an infrastructure decision that actually helped make the United States into truly one country.
Okay, he's right about those previous programs. But they were specific, targeted, long-term plan. People had been fighting, and it wasn't under Lincoln they completed the Transcontinental Railroad. It was under Grant, which was two presidencies later. It was Andrew Johnson, then Grant. In any event, the point about all of this is he repeats something there that Joe Biden said in his speech, which is this is the biggest jobs program since World War II. World War II was not a jobs program. There were 16 million men who were hired, namely drafted. They went into the army. And the other aspect of the jobs program was people were involved, yes, including Rosie the Riveter and more. They were deeply involved in producing the equipment that actually won the war. It wasn't a jobs program. We didn't fight the war to provide a jobs program. We actually created a lot of jobs for creating the military hardware we needed to save civilization from one of the most serious challenges it had ever faced. More speaking about challenges with disease and at the border, coming up on the MedVet Show. Even for Americans who've been successful in dodging the coronavirus so far, there's still a problem of pain. There are 100 million Americans who suffer from ongoing pain due to overexertion or exercise or just aging or the effects of everyday living, and Relief Factor can help. It helps exercise-related pain or general muscle aches and pains, and it certainly does for me. There are four key ingredients. Each one approaches the body's natural anti-inflammatory response function from different metabolic pathways. The 3-week quick start can show you how it works. It's just $19.95, 95 cents a day, less than a cup of coffee a day, much less for pain relief. Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain, the whole world to gain.
With new leadership in Washington, D.C., it's abundantly clear that Americans are deeply divided. What does our country even believe anymore? What do we have in common? One organization that continues to stand for what America has always believed is the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College. The Institute stands for the first things, the permanent things: religious liberty, freedom of conscience, the family, limited government, free markets, our Judeo-Christian heritage. The Institute for Faith and Freedom is unafraid to support these timeless truths and principles with no apologies. Go to the website faithandfreedom.com and you'll see insightful, bold opinion pieces from the renowned faculty at Grove City College. See Mark Hendrickson's latest on GameStop, Wall Street, and the hedge fund managers. See John Sparks and former Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty on impeachment. And take a look at our friend Paul Kanger's articles and speeches. You can find all of this and much more at the website of the Institute for Faith and Freedom. That's www.faithandfreedom.com.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com antibacterial or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
And on the Michael Medved show, Dr. Fauci was asked to comment on TV, on CBS, about his colleague, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, who was the head of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. She had made those comments we played for you yesterday, that we may be headed for impending doom with the COVID ongoing COVID crisis. And the truth of the matter is that the United States is doing much better with vaccines and getting people vaccinated and protected than most of the European countries. And frankly, than almost any country in the world. Israel still appears to be the world leader, but they can't figure out how to deal with the virus of division and actually putting together a government when no party in the parliament has anywhere close to a majority. In any event, Dr. Fauci was asked about us being facing impending doom, and he had this to say. Listen.
We heard the CDC director talk of impending doom as people loosen up and gather. Do you share her concern?
Well, you know, I don't know if I would use the word impending doom. I, you know, if you talk to Dr. Walensky, which we do every single day, the point she's making is a very valid point. We're seeing the cases that have plateaued over the last couple of weeks, and now they're starting to inch up. So the point that she was making was very valid.
Okay, and the point that is being made by what is planned for tomorrow, which appears to be a million maskless march, and along with a mass mask burning that's planned in Florida. Is that really the right idea? The problem in so much of our politics and on so many issues, and one issue after another, it's either all one thing or all the other. In other words, putting things in context, do I believe that it is probably not that important for people who have been vaccinated? The evidence appears to be that people who have been vaccinated don't need to wear masks. It's not of the same importance because the chances are that they're not going to be able to pass on the disease to anybody else. And the truth of the matter is, for my wife and I, we're both fully vaccinated, we do wear masks. And not inside our house, of course, but when we go out, we do. Go to the market or something like that. The idea of holding a march to burn masks. I don't think there will be a million people there. I certainly hope not. And concerning where there are too many people, we have a real problem at our border. And there's a Border Patrol agent named Raul Ortiz, and he speaks about a very immediate problem that needs some kind of solution, and where the Biden administration has been floundering. No one can describe it differently. This is clip four.
So let me give you the capacity. The capacity for this location for COVID purposes is 250. For previous to COVID, the total capacity was 1,000. But I'm holding, like I said, you know, we're holding over 4,100 subjects in this location alone. So you do the math. We're way over capacity. We're like 700% over capacity.
Okay, 700% over capacity is problematic. And the difficulty is, it's easy to say, and I think it's true to say, that President Biden has to send much more clear messages, as the Trump administration did, that people cannot come up here without authorization and assume that some coyote that they're paying or some people smuggler that they're paying is going to get them across the border successfully, and then all is forgiven and all is fine. That can't be the standard. But at the same time, you have to do something to address an immediate crisis. And the idea that the best that you can do is to cram more and more people there is the best solution, finding some other accommodations for them, to send them home or to do something to process their claims, because the majority of people are not going to get asylum granted to them based upon the way that our system works. They're going to be sent home. So moving more quickly on that would be one of the crucial elements of this challenge. And then, of course, speaking of challenge, there's AOC, who denies that there's no surge at the border. Why? Because children are not insurgents. This is clip six.
They want to say, what about the surge? Well, first of all, just gut check, stop. Anyone who's using the term surge around you consciously is trying to invoke a militaristic frame. And that's a problem, because this is not a surge. These are children, and they are not insurgents, and we are not being invaded, which, by the way, is a white supremacist idea, philosophy, the idea that if an other is coming in the population, that this is like an invasion of who we are.
Okay, the reason that I think that the term invasion is a very big mistake, because an invasion goes along with the idea that someone is sending these people here. Look, we talked about this yesterday. There are 42 million people, according to Gallup, who live in the Western Hemisphere alone, in the Caribbean and in Latin America, who say they want to find another place to live. They don't want to continue and try to raise their children where they happen to be living. And 35% of those people want to come to America. That's 42 million people. And it's not going to work. And that's not an invasion, but it's inviting far, far more immigration than the country can prosperously and appropriately handle. And then there is what Hollywood can handle. You remember those old movies, Death Wish movies from the 1970s and 80s? There's a movie like that with a title Nobody. It's about a guy who looks like a nobody, but his background is surprising. It's playing in theaters, and it's already a surprisingly big hit. We'll take a listen to this review.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
An ordinary suburban family experiences a home invasion robbery that ends up exposing the secret shocking past of the long-suffering dad played by Bob Odenkirk, who keeps insisting he's really just nobody. Now playing in select theaters.
There's a long dormant piece of me now awake. I want so very badly to play this out.
And you'll want so badly for these sympathetic characters to survive as they're menaced by an unspeakably brutal Russian-American crime boss played by the convincingly creepy Alexei Serebryakov. The levels of violence are shocking, even excessive, for a well-deserved R rating, and the near-superhuman powers of the protagonist become difficult to accept, but you're still rooting for him and for this skillfully made movie. 2.5 stars for Nobody, which is brutal but engaging and strong enough to inspire likely sequels.
This feature brought to you by the Thank Heaven Foundation.
The difference between this movie and the Death Wish movies with Charles Bronson, and there was even a case of Bernard Goetz, who was a subway victim. He was attacked by a group of kids, and he actually, I think he used a screwdriver. No, he used a gun and shot them. And that became a huge issue, and it's one of those issues that helped to elect Rudy Giuliani. In any event, this film has elements like that of a guy who is just so fed up with the violence that he sees around him and the violence that he can't seem to turn away. The difference being that in the Death Wish movies, it's an ordinary guy who develops this whole alter ego. In this movie, this guy has a secret past as a super effective government killer. Speaking of super effective government killers, do you trust the government? We'll be speaking with Scott Rasmussen, I believe, about very big partisan differences, but overall, the number of people who think the federal government supports our founding ideals, it's not encouraging. We will cover that. Also, a big, big new movie with big, big stars. How big? Godzilla size. King Kong size. King Kong versus Godzilla. It opens on Netflix. We'll review it and much more in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Honorary Forest Ranger Betty White here, lending a hand to my dear friend Smokey Bear, because for 75 years, he's only said,
only you can prevent wildfires.
But there's a lot more to say. Like, if you park your car on tall, dry grass, the hot exhaust pipe can start a wildfire. So be careful out there. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.